All right, we're back. Second hour, Incendiary Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network. If you can support the network, please do so. Most of us here on the network, you know, somebody's got to pay the board operator for putting up with all the hosts and playing all our clips and everything else and keep the network on the air. I'm not making anything. So we're going to talk about this piece of crap, Antonio Gutierrez, from Portugal, by the way, folks. I find it interesting the Secretary General of the United Nations is a Portuguese guy, and you know he's embedded with the Jesuits, of course, Portugal, Fatima, apparitions, and so forth. The war against the traditional church by the Antichrist Church, as the prophecies talked about, the church will be an eclipse and it'll become the seat of the Antichrist. And so this guy is one of these servants. And let's listen to this piece of crap. Go ahead and play clip 13.
And for scientists, it is unequivocal. Humans are to blame. All this is entirely consistent with predictions and repeated warnings. The only surprise is the speed of the change. Climate change is here. It is terrifying, and it is just the beginning. The era of global warming has ended. The era of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable. And the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable. Leaders must lead.
All right. So this turd, humans, see, how long have I talked about this? Where they're blaming us for their purposeful sabotage of the weather systems by tampering with it. Their purposeful sabotage of the earth. You know, the book of Revelation talks about Christ will come back and destroy those who are destroying the earth. So there is earth destruction going on. Don't get it twisted that there aren't a bunch of thugs doing crazy things like this big old ship that catches on fire with all these electric vehicles. What do you think that's doing to the environment? Those things don't – the amount of poisons – you know, Mitchell Henderson was talking about that. The amount of poisons that these batteries put out into the world, it's like environmental sabotage by put, you know, Elon Musk is a scumbag. Okay? This guy is a transhumanist, pushing these electric vehicles, all this crap. And how do you like his little uniform, his little costume he wore on Halloween with the big old fat upside down cross, the devil's champion, all right, all over, upside down crosses all over him, with his crazy ex-wife. You know, I covered that stuff a couple weeks ago. These people are evil. So anyway, the global boiling has arrived. Okay. Are people's attention spans so short that they don't even remember how the climate cult shifted to climate change years ago because the global cooling returned and all their whining about global warming just made them look like clowns? And the crazy thing is there's all these articles about, well, if you would pay attention, do people pay attention to actual, you know, data from the past, the 1930s, the 1890s, all this stuff? Nobody pays attention. It's just a hot mess. And so, Mr. Producer, let's get clip 5 ready. Here's some more. Now, remember Michael Yawn and all these people that were coming on, Alex Jones and Mike Adams and all the people that do these podcasts and interviews with these people that make their rounds. Notice how Ice Cube made all these rounds. Tucker Carlson, Bill Maher, Joe Rogan. Isn't that fascinating how this kind of works, how they went on to all these huge, the guy went on to all these huge platforms, talked about the vaccines. And I don't know if he reached out to all of them, had his agent do that or what. It's fascinating to watch kind of how these things get set up. It's almost like a circuit. But let's get back to what they were saying at this war on fertilizer. Remember that they were talking about for the last year, and how this was going to cause this ripple effect on down the line. You know, the big BASF plant in Germany, curtailing operations and all that stuff. And then basically these farmers weren't going to even be able to use fertilizer, which is going to extremely deplete their crop production and so forth and so on. Well, let's go ahead and listen to clip 5.
This is Dabu 7. And you were witnessing people panic buying rice after this new ban put into place by India. And you can see here in this clip, long lines of people in the United States waiting to get food. This is connected to India coming out and stating that they are going to put this large-scale ban across the board on exporting certain rices. So now all of a sudden these people panic buying, and we're seeing this on video clips being shared on social media, and it's coming from places like Texas and out of places like California where they're seeing this firsthand. So the one clip was of a Costco, people starting to get a little crazy in there throwing the food around, and it looks like some are seeing this as a sign that something big is on the horizon. We've warned about food shortages, and there's different things that add to them. But on the global scene, having India make a move like this is rather big. Plus, the moves that Russia's making in terms of threatening to blow up anything that comes into a Ukrainian port and then destroying all the wheat. You're talking that wheat and rice now, globally, taking a big hit. This is something to pay attention to.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Artificial scarcity, man. How long have we been talking about this on this broadcast? Remember all the ports? Seattle, Long Beach, and all that port jam up, and all that weird, just like the sabotage of the supply chains. Now, you know, it just gets you to the point where you're just like, they're getting ready for a large-scale democide. Now, Mike Adams, let me see where this was at, was talking on to Maria Z and basically saying that, you know, let me find it. Maybe I got rid of it. Hold on a minute. But anyway, it's about like, let me see here. Okay, globalists weaponized the food supply towards starvation because the COVID vaccines were not enough to depopulate the world. You know, I don't know if I view it that way, but it's an interesting angle. And basically, I think the COVID operation was ran to cause these lockdowns, and then they could start this chain of events of going after the food supply and all that right on the heels of it, cocktailed with this whole climate change agenda, like CNN said. Well, now we're going to shift to climate change. So now you've got all the freaking jerks out here on the news getting everybody freaked out by saying, oh, it's the hottest ever. Yeah. And when they know it's BS, okay? So so those that basically he's saying those who did not die from the vaccines or the engineered virus itself should expire from starvation or the genetically modified Franken foods. We see in the beginning of this in the Netherlands where they seize thousands of farms, but that's just the beginning. We're seeing the mass slaughter of cows ordered by the government in Ireland. We're also seeing the globalist effort to replace real meat with basically cancer, tumor, synthetic meat that's grown, harvested, and turned into a so-called beef patty or chicken nugget type of thing. But you're just eating cancer, tumor flesh, tumor fillets, what they're calling a cricket McNugget. So cannibalism will become a feature of the world as the famine kicks in and it's all engineered, noting that the shutdown has already come. He went on to cite extreme weather patterns across the world right now as a result of geoengineering. Well, guess what? We just had a severe storm that lasted only about an hour or two blow through here yesterday. People are all out of power. I mean, limbs, trees. I mean, we're seeing these jerks tampering. They're creating these crazy heat domes or whatever you want to call it. And then they'll seed some clouds, shoot off some fake clouds, and then boom, these weather systems, just these hot and cold runs into each other, and then wham. I mean, we just had a crazy one shoot through here yesterday. And power was out. You know, it's just, it's getting crazy. Climate manipulation efforts bring crop failures, droughts, even floods that eventually bring on food scarcity and the weaponization of the food supply. And so, you know, let's get clip six ready, shall we? And this is about grid sabotage. So on top of pushing electric vehicles, which are catching on fire, the bikes catching on fire everywhere, so forth and so on, dragging onto the grid, now they're purposefully always putting this doom porn out now about grid failures. Let's listen to clip six.
This is DAPU 7. We now have another emergency declared in terms of heat in the power grid here in the United States, and we're looking at some of the peak weather that we've seen thus far this year in terms of high temperatures. A lot of areas seeing this heat dome that was parked over the west shift to the east, and it's left a lot of people out there baking. And yesterday they put out this alert saying that they were going to start to initiate these rolling blackouts. I've got emails and alerts from people all across the board saying that their area or areas around them are experiencing rolling blackouts or blackouts. People are being asked to shut off appliances. They're getting alerts on their phones. They're getting emails asking them to shut off their computers, all other stuff inside the house for a number of hours. And I fear that this is the new norm. You're going to start to see this more and more as they continue to push this climate agenda on the masses. But when it comes to the whole grid, it should be known right now that it's not the climate or climate anything right now that's got us in this situation. They do state that the hot weather alerts here help to prepare people out there to get ready for situations where the lights go out. And to have a generator is key. A good gas generator, solar generator, or to have a combination is key. Hedge your bets, so to speak, there.
All right, go ahead and stop it there.
Options if you can.
Now, think about this. This is an article on Zero Hedge about Australia. Power companies could remotely switch off EV chargers to reduce grid stress. So they're pushing you into getting an electric vehicle. Then due to supposed grid stress, they're going to be like, hey, we got to shut down all these vehicle EV charging stations or even the one in your house. So they're going to have some way to be like, okay, grid stress, shut the chargers off. Guess what? I can't get to work. I didn't get to charge my vehicle. Yo, you're in trouble. You can't make it to work. I mean, this is, I just don't. And they're talking about this net zero. You can't have any carbon emissions. Even though everything runs on carbon, the plants and everything else, humans have to have a certain percentage to breathe. All this crap. Everything is changing. Californians struggling with high rent prices. End of eviction moratoriums. And then they got a picture of these people. Seize the debt. Cancel rent now. Yeah, let's just let everybody live free. I mean, it's, you know, more than 768,000 households are behind rent on in the Golden State, with debts totaling more than $5 billion, putting approximately 721,000 children at risk of eviction. Well, what are their parents doing? Are they trying to work, or they just want UBI? This is going to be civil unrest. Now, hijackers sending me some stuff. Russia could add 2.4 million eligible troops as the war drags on. What do the Russians know? Looks like I was wrong. No peace treaty, no two-year pause. That's full mobilization for Russia. Well, we'll see. Let's get clip 11 ready. Fat sack of crap, J.B. Pritzker, Jewish crime family from the Pritzkers. Go ahead and roll clip 11.
Hey, everybody. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago we covered a story that stated in California as well as New York, I think it was one other place, but for sure those two states, they were saying that if you were not an American citizen, you could definitely apply to become a police officer, right? Well, now we can add Illinois to the list because they've just signed into law HB 3751 on the 28th of July, 2023. This was signed into law by their governor, J.B. Pritzker. Now, here is what it states. Oh, and get this piece. It's effective immediately. So it states that foreign nationals who are legally authorized under federal law to work in the United States, or any foreign national who is an individual against whom immigration action has been deferred by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services under the Federal Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, also known as DACA process, can apply to become an officer. Now, the legislation was strongly opposed by the Fraternal Order of the Police. The union noted that an officer's job is to enforce the law, so someone without legal status should not qualify, they say. Here's what they say in a quote. The main function of police officers is to enforce the law, to ensure that people in their jurisdictions abide by all applicable laws. What message does this legislation send when it allows people who do not have legal status to become enforcers of our laws? This is a potential crisis of confidence in law enforcement at a time when our officers need all the public confidence they can get. They also add, make no mistake, we will welcome these potential police recruits with open arms once their citizenship status is solidified. And we do look forward to the unique perspective they can bring to our profession. The Daily Wire reports that during the debate on the bill, Illinois State Senator Chapin Rose said that it would be a fundamental breach of democracy to allow non-citizens to arrest American citizens. Chapin says, quote, it's just a fundamentally bad idea. I don't care where this individual is from, Australia. They should not be able to arrest a U.S. citizen on United States soil. And I want to know what you guys think, because I completely agree with Chapin. I think that Chapin Rose had a point. If you're not an American citizen, how can you justify being able to exact our laws or to perform our laws or carry them out if you're not even from here, if you've not even gone through the process to become an actual American citizen? Let me know down below in the comments what you
think.
Stop it there.
This is the signal of a completely sick and torched society. And you have members of this political movement, this Jacobin movement, that are committing open treason. Okay? J.B. Pritzker is an open traitor, and he is a sitting governor. If the Illinois State Police don't arrest this clown, this fat sack of crap, you know, the Fraternal Order police. Oh, we oppose this. No, you should arrest him. Now, you know nobody in the federal government's going to arrest him, because guess what? They're all freaking compromised. The Department of Justice, they're going to do anything to him? The FBI, Fake Bombings Incorporated, they're going to do something to him? Christopher Wray? You've reached a point of rot. Is somebody going to sue? And what you know, a court going to do anything? These rotten judges. I mean, you've got the Supreme Court that just ruled against Biden for giving student loans, and Biden just flipped his finger at him and said, "I'm going to do it anyway. What are you going to do about it?" There is no checks and balances left. There is no federalism left. The separation of powers is destroyed. The lawyers have killed the country. You know, the bankers have done their part, but the lawyers are the, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the money changers. Money changers are the bankers, the Pharisees are the religious component, and the scribes are the lawyers. The ones that play with the meanings of words. Okay? And this triumvirate of evil has destroyed the republic pretty much. And so this is never going to be solved in the courts. This is never going to be solved without, unfortunately, the spilling of blood. I'm not openly calling for the spilling of blood, but I'm just observing that this is only the eventual way that any of this will ever be solved. And it's unfortunate that many people would take up the mantle of treason and run with it just for personal gain, just for the gain of, you know, well, Pritzker, you got to realize, you elect a mobster Jew to be your governor. Well, you didn't elect. He probably stole it, but you know what I mean. You're going to get this kind of crap. Mr. Producer, let's get clip 10 ready, since I'm on the Jewish mob. And I found this one today. You guys will like this one. Go ahead and run clip 10.
Well, see, that's how these Jews got big. I'm going to take the Cleveland family, for instance. They had the Jews, these Jews like Mo Dalitz, Sammy Tucker, Morris Kleinman, the ones that owned the Desert Inn. They had two or three gambling houses in Cleveland, right? Well, maybe they'd declare $1 million at the end of the year, whatever. Well, you know, come the end of 7, 8, 10 years, if you wanted to invest 5, 10 million in something, you could show that you made that kind of money in the past. So that's how they got successful. I think it was in 1940 or 41 they bought the Beverly Club in Kentucky. Well, they showed money. They had money to show it. The Italians couldn't do it. You give an Italian $1 million, he puts it under the cellar. Well, how can he invest $500,000? Where did you get the money? You understand? So that's how these Jews got made money, because they could show money. And the more money that they made, the more that they declared, the more that they could invest.
Large swaths of Israeli police forces raiding the Abu Latif criminal organization on Wednesday morning as part of an investigation uncovering billions.
All right. Just back it up about 5 seconds. But you remember in Godfather 3 where Michael Corleone was talking about he was getting in bed with Immobiliare, the construction outfit, and all that. And he's like, we're trying to go above board. We're trying to go legit. You see, that's the exact kind of principle right there with that video where Michael Corleone in Godfather 3 is trying to get his family, you know, above board to where then they have legitimate money. And so, see, that's a perfect parallel, and it, you know, when I watched it, it popped up in my head. Go ahead and resume. Now, this is about Israeli organized crime. Go ahead and resume
so
it.
So that's how these Jews got made money, because they could show money. And the more money that they made, the more that they declared, the more that they could invest.
Large swaths of Israeli police forces raiding the Abu Latif criminal organization on Wednesday morning as part of an investigation uncovering billions of shekels worth of tax evasion. The large-scale police investigation, which culminated with the arrest of 21 individuals, being internally named the Black Billion Investigation. After a year-long undercover investigation by Israel Police Northern District Central Unit, the raid being carried out. According to the inquiry, Abu Latif being involved in multiple extortion attempts against residents and business owners of northern Israel. The Abu Latif organization being linked to a wide range of crimes committed in the country, being suspected of involvement in a number of murders, shooting incidents, hostile takeover of firms, and involvement in public tenders. A breakthrough in the case being achieved a year ago, allowing police to build evidence against senior officials and members connected to organization. And now police saying more arrests are expected to be conducted over the coming days.
There were so many suspects, FBI agents needed a bus. Leaders of some of New Jersey's most prominent towns and rabbis from New York and New Jersey being led in handcuffs.
This case is not about politics. It is certainly not about religion. It is about a shocking betrayal of the public trust.
These are two nearly separate investigations. Their common link, what the government calls a cooperating witness, reportedly this man, Solomon Dweck, who became an informant 2 years ago after being accused of a $50 million bank fraud. In what reads like a Sopranos episode, he wore a wire for the FBI, handing out envelopes stuffed with cash to public officials in parking lots and laundering $3 million with the rabbis. Hoboken Mayor Peter Camerano, sworn in only 3 weeks ago, is accused of accepting $25,000 in cash. He told the cooperating witness, quote, "You're going to be treated like a friend." And of the people who oppose him, quote, "They get ground into powder."
Politicians willingly put themselves up for sale. They existed in an ethics-free zone.
Separately, the cooperating witness gave what he said were illegal gains to the rabbis who allegedly hid the money using charitable organizations. One suspect even offered to find a human kidney for a transplant.
This is all part of a 10-year public corruption investigation that has already yielded two other high-profile indictments. Officials say some politicians don't seem to be getting the message.
All right, you can stop it there. We hear there's
the worst, if not the worst, in the nation.
But think about the human trafficking of all the white girls in Israel. You know, Sound of Freedom. Maybe you guys need to look into Israel and their stuff. And then it goes on the Arab world as well. A lot of white girls in the Arab world right now under slavery, sex slavery. We'll see you on the other side.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Just another figure in a newspaper. Just another bloodstain on the ground. Just another victim of this once great land. Could you tell me when salvation will be found? Until then, it's just another prayer for the dying. Just what's spinning round in my head. Just another prayer for the dying. Just a requiem for the dead. Drinking their champagne, whilst our people fight for very life itself. Now we're second class in our own countries, in poverty whilst they build up their wealth. While out here is still just another prayer for the dying. What's been around in my head? Just another prayer for the dying. Just a requiem for the dead.
All right, we're back. Just think about all the Ukrainian refugees from this war. You know, Rents and Mitchell Henderson were really going in on Russia today, basically saying this war is not real. They're purposefully stalemating on purpose. He's like, the Russians could have routed these Ukrainian forces very easily as they've wanted. So even Rents, and who was once really, really big on Russia and, you know, their side of this whole thing, is really kind of scrutinizing this conflict as a dialectic. And I've always kind of had a jaundiced eye towards – Russia and Vladimir Putin. You know, I've always wanted the guy. I've always said for the last 9 years, been on the air, I've been like, he's really the enigma of this era in which we live. Unfortunately, it just seems that this. And look, the Syria is, you know, that one thing to where it really kind of falls in his favor when you're looking at the entire chessboard here about him not letting President Bashar al-Assad be liquidated and taken out like Gaddafi. Gaddafi fell. Nobody did anything to help him. It was very unfortunate. But Assad is still there, and the Saudis and so forth have welcomed him back into the Arab so-called kind of coalition of nations. Really pissed off the kosher, you know, types. But hopefully, you know, we'll get some sort of clarification. But unfortunately, this Ukraine is just a meat grinder for white people. And you can only think about how many more Ukrainian women are sex slaves in various parts of the Middle East, including Israel. You know, you got to pray for these people that are under this yoke of evil, where you know, pimps and prostitution and all this crap. Now, if a woman, like here in the United States, and she doesn't have anybody browbeating her into selling her body, and you know, I mean that whole side of it, I'm not so much sitting in complete judgment versus these people that get trafficked, and they have to. You read some of these horror stories of women in some of these brothels where they're being held against their will, having to service, you know, 50, 100 guys in a day or something. That's the kind of stuff where people just need to be killed for running that sort of operation. That's death penalty stuff, as far as I'm concerned. So as we're talking about this trafficking, let's talk about the high level, the hoity-toity level of, let's just say, the sex trade. And this is called yachting, Y-A-C-H-T, you know, yachts, yachting. And this is on the Internet Oddities YouTube channel. Got 1.5 million plus views. Go ahead and play clip one real quick.
Yachting is one of the entertainment industry's biggest open secrets, with A-list stars, including models, actors, and influencers, being rumored to have been involved in yachting at some point during their careers. If you're unfamiliar with the term, yachting is used to describe the practice of being paid to spend time, often on a yacht, with extremely wealthy clients. Over the years, it has become a popular way for women to raise their profile while making some money. However, under the surface, it has a dark history of coercion, sexual exploitation, and human trafficking. The term itself first started gaining traction when The Hollywood Reporter published an investigation into the culture at the Cannes Film Festival in 2013, claiming that models and some Hollywood actors swarmed the hotels and yacht parties during the festival. A man named Eli Nahas, who ran a modeling agency at the time and would later be convicted of supplying more than 50 women to rich Middle Eastern clients during the festival, said, "Every year, there are 30 to 40 luxury yachts in the bay at Cannes. And every boat belongs to a very rich person. Every boat has about 10 girls on it, and they are usually nude or half nude. These women are referred to as yacht girls, and they blur the lines between party goers and escorts, as the general agreement between them and the host of the boat is that by coming aboard, they are expected to carry out favors. But at the end of the night, they are all gifted envelopes full of varying amounts of money. The amount of cash they receive is based upon their celebrity status and what favors they carried out over the course of the evening. According to Nahas, you'd definitely recognize more than a few names from Hollywood. They tell themselves what they're doing at Cannes is okay, that they're just on dates with girls, include Bella Hadid, Hailey Bieber, and Meghan Markle. But before we get deeper into that, let's ponder why an already wealthy and successful person would consider doing it. As previously stated, the men who own these boats are extremely wealthy, and unfortunately, with wealth comes power and connections, and having a decent relationship with some of these people could take your career to the next level. According to The Hollywood Reporter, yachting your way to stardom happens with disturbing frequency, and even pointed a finger at actress Irina Shayk, who landed her debut role in the film Hercules despite having zero previous acting credits. And in a Stylist article on women yachting, an anonymous source said, "You might see people on the red carpet and have no idea who they are, but there's a reason why they're being elevated. They're being seen, but so is the person who invited them there." They also went on to say, "You often see someone with a million followers, always traveling and being pictured on a private jet, and you think, well, how are they doing that? Where are they going and who with?"
The men who are going to be involved in yachting, it's going to be very high up, well-to-do, extremely wealthy men. Well-connected, anonymous businessman type. You wouldn't recognize their name. You have no idea who they are. They probably own a bunch of companies, got a lot of money. You wouldn't recognize their name.
To give you an idea of just how wealthy these yacht owners are, some of the yachts spotted at the Cannes Festival in 2019 include the Serene, a $500 million super yacht owned by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman that features two helipads, an indoor climbing wall, a fully equipped spa, and three swimming pools. Also spotted at Cannes was the Eclipse, the second largest super yacht in the world, valued at an estimated $1.2 billion. Once you take a look at some of these yachts and factor in what a relationship with their owners could potentially offer your career, as well as the often five-figure plus gifts you receive at the end of the evening, it becomes more clear why someone would be open to play along, even if they don't exactly need the money. In 2021, Emily Ratajkowski released a memoir titled My Body, where she details her indoctrination into the cult of beauty as defined by powerful men. Part of this book delves into her experiences yachting, and this made people speculate whether or not Bella Hadid and Hailey Bieber also partake in the business, as Emily has posted videos of them dancing on a yacht together at none other than Cannes Film Festival, the same festival that has become synonymous with yachting. One of the excerpts from Emily's book names one of her yachting clients as Joe Law, a Malaysian businessman who has since become a fugitive on the run after allegedly embezzling billions from the Malaysian state. With Emily publicizing her experience yachting with Joe Law, people began drawing lines between him and other potential yacht girls. For example, in 2010, Joe Law was pictured partying with Paris Hilton in Saint-Tropez, and in 2019, The Sun Daily reported that Kylie Jenner would be celebrating her 22nd birthday on Joe Law's yacht. This corresponds with a 2015 blind item posted about Kris Jenner and Kylie Jenner.
I found this Kris Jenner, Kylie Jenner blind item from 2015 that is so creepy, but I've never believed something more. We had really hoped that the younger member of this family would avoid all the pitfalls to which the others fell prey. No such luck. She's already in deep. The latest, she is actually being coached by her mother in both the art of pleasing a man as well as how to find one to pay her a lot to do it. We're not talking about a boyfriend or husband here. No, we're talking about yachting. We're talking about professional work. Her television fame and young age are already earning her a significant bonus over others who provide similar services. So that is Kris Jenner literally pimping out her own daughter who was not 18. Well below 18 at the time. Oh my God, and this is when they were filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
All right, let's go ahead and stop it there. So you get the gist of it. And then the real dark stuff is like these Instagram models that go over into Dubai and other places. And you have these weirdo Arab gazillionaires that like to take a dump on them, pee on them, make them have relations with their camels, all this, I mean, most disgusting stuff. But that's the top of the food chain with the human kind of trafficking. Think about the bottom of the food chain in places like Vietnam, in Nigeria, Kenya, Indonesia, Thailand, so forth and so on. Think about America. In our country right now, there are thousands of people that are slaves. You got these black Americans sitting here clamoring for reparations in a country that is teetering on the brink of total collapse, total totalitarian, dystopian, nightmarish existence, while you have people from all over the world in sweatshops here, in clandestine brothels, in flea bag motels all around this country, modern day slavery existing right this very minute in our country. It really just, you know, it's so over the top. The amount of hate that boils up in one's spirit once you really try to kind of put this all into perspective and you realize the evil nature of man. Remember when in the Bible, before God sent the flood, he's like, the whole world was filled with violence. That's one of the reasons. And men's thoughts were only evil continually. So the world was filled with violence, and then men's hearts were filled with evil continually. And that's when he said, it's done. I'm going to flood this thing. Start over. And now this time it's going to be by fire. The elements shall be burnt up with a great heat. So promise, hey, I'm never going to do this again with a flood. But you get into Peter and so forth, and it talks about the earth will be burnt up with, and the elements and everything, with a great heat. That's a cleansing. Fire is a cleansing. And the earth has been corrupted to the point. Look at the genetics. Think about the Book of Enoch, where it talks about sinning against the plants and the animals, splicing, tampering with the code of life. And think about everything now: Moderna, Pfizer, the Pentagon, the Russians. You know, the Russians are looking at a central bank digital currency right now too, folks. That's where you kind of let a look at it and be like, wait a second. If Pooty Poots, this freaking stud for freedom, this nationalist, why is he doing the same agenda as is going to put his country on a central bank digital currency? You answer me that one. Let's get clip 12 ready. And this is about the battle right now. This is the Mark of the Beast battle, digital ID. Okay, this is going to be the other part of the equation from the blockchain takeover by the states. Okay, so I got an article up here. The government wants to turn blockchain firms into servants of the state. Okay, and this is from the Mises Institute. Okay, but think of it. We're going to play this first, and then we'll get into this article. Go ahead and play clip 12.
You know, this is a ferocious war, and we've got bigger battles on our hands. And I feel that the digital identity is our biggest battle that we are going to face. And we have to stand united, and we have to stand firm in our intentionality and renounce it. We have to renounce it in non-compliance. If we have 40% of the British public, just this country, we'll keep it here, who renounce that and do not comply with it, it's over for them. It's over. We've won. And this is what we have to get across to people, is the message of non-compliance. Lord Jonathan Sumption said this in one of his early speeches that I gravitated towards in 2020 about the British way, how we like to queue up, and we can only take so much, and then it gets to a point where the British public becomes becomes non-compliant, and then there's peaceful civil disobedience to end matters. And I feel we're seeing this with this ULIS and these 15-minute cities. We're at a very critical junction point here. Of the 80%, we now are seeing some of that 80% coming over to the side of the road of the 20% through these matters that have been put on their doorstep. Now it's impacting them financially. The same with the orchestrated and cost of living crisis, another crisis. It's this is a crisis, that is a crisis. It's wordplay. It's all wordplay. We know this is all part of the World Economic Forum stroke Davos not so great reset. This is all part of it. The digital identity, the social credit system based on the Chinese model, and the central bank programmable digital currency to lead us into enslavement. Well, we're free and we're sovereign, and they will never enslave us if we stand united in non-compliance. We have to have the strength, the courage, as those men and women did back then, close to 80 years ago, and stand there and do not falter. Do not falter. And it's over for them. It's completely over. I
love that. All right, go ahead, stop it. In years, blockchain surveillance, BS, companies have become increasingly important players in the cryptocurrency industry. Their business model consists in developing proprietary software that collects and interprets public data available on public blockchains and then selling their services to governments, banks, exchanges, and others that need access to this data. Usually, governments are interested in collecting information about financial crimes, while other institutional players use BS companies for compliance, especially with regard to customer due diligence. This article argues that BS companies can be understood as governmentalities. Michael Rechtenwald deploys this term to refer to corporations and other non-state actors who actively undertake state functions. The partnership between the state and blockchain surveillance companies threatens cryptocurrency users' privacy and their ability to transact freely away from the prying eyes of unwanted third parties. BS companies help institutional players and law enforcement implement the risk-based approach developed by the Financial Action Task Force. According to the risk-based approach, customers of regulated intermediaries such as cryptocurrency exchanges are first and foremost considered to be risks to the stability of the financial system. They are considered to be customers secondarily. Consequently, all customers are categorized based on the level of risk they pose to the ability of intermediaries to comply with regulations. Different BS firms may implement the RBA differently, but the classification of risk remains more or less constant. Severe risk is usually tied to indicators of child abuse, terrorist financing, and sanctions. Ties to darknet markets and ransomware, use of ATMs, protocol privacy, peer-to-peer activity, use of cryptocurrency mixers, and indicators of gambling are normally classified as high or medium risk factors. The use of decentralized exchanges and smart contracts poses medium risk to no risk by default. And it goes on and on. But you see where this is going, okay? Everybody sees where it's going, okay? Now, Russia Today, this was 2 days ago. Moscow has forgiven $23 billion in African debt. Russia will also allocate another $90 million for development on the on the continent. So Russia, and this is all about de-dollarization, the BRICS gang, and possibly the international banksters, like Bibi Netanyahu said, when they're done with America, can dry up and blow away. Maybe they're moving to the BRICS as the new control arm of the New World Order. We'll have to see how it plays out. But forgiving all this debt, and then basically the West is leaning on the Africans to take the West side with this Ukraine stuff. Very, very fascinating. St. Louis police arrest Osmani Haji Ghul after he kidnaps a 6-year-old boy on his bike, sexually assaults him in an abandoned home in St. Louis City. It sounds like almost a Turkish name. He looks Middle Eastern. But this thing in the Turkish Arab Muslim world, there's that underbelly of pedophilia, male on male, that is in the Bacchabazi in Afghanistan, so forth and so on. So they play this, oh, we don't tolerate homosexuality, we throw gays off buildings, some of the more hardcore Salafist types, but yet there's this undercurrent of man-boy rape in the Islamic world. And then look, you can't blame it on Islam necessarily. You blame it on just the culture. And so you would say this is the Christian West, but is it really Christians? There's a lot of secular people that are under the yoke of Islam that want to do what they want to do and lead a hedonistic lifestyle. Look at the princes in Saudi Arabia and so forth. They're off having their fun with the yacht girls while they'll hang somebody in the public square back in Riyadh or so forth and so on for doing hardly anything. And so this is the two-tiered justice system that works in every country, but ours is really getting very transparent now, as we can all see. Take things from white people. Now, this is on the Griot, the G-R-I-O, thegriot.com. Perhaps the best way to counter the opposition to affirmative action, reparations, and every black movement for justice and equality is to culturally appropriate America's tradition of state-sponsored strong-arming. So basically, he's saying just take things from white people, okay? Steal it from them. Use if you got any kind of state, power in a mostly black municipality, use the state to do so. These people are the useful idiots of course of the Zio Bolsheviks. Okay, and then black whistleblowers have said this for years, that basically these Jews come in, they take these blacks under their wing, turn them into good hardcore anti-white communists, and then they use them as a bludgeon against the larger white society. Why does Planned Parenthood's headquarters look exactly like an Aztec child sacrifice pyramid? Okay. So people are looking at it, and Houston, Texas, the headquarters building looks exactly like an Aztec ritualistic pyramid, human sacrifice pyramid. Incandescent light bulb ban starts, what, in 2 days? Gas stove ban coming next. Department of Energy plans to mete out the maximum civil penalty against manufacturers that knowingly distribute illicit light bulbs which violate their new efficiency standards. Don't you just love it? Fox demanded Jason Aldean remove the BLM footage from a viral music video. So Fox, yeah, threatened legal action for using their footage out of Atlanta, I think it was, to take it out of his video. So Fox didn't want the BLM riot footage that was theirs in his video. That's the new Fox. That'll match your contributions if you're a Fox employee to the Satanic Temple, by the way. That's Fox, folks. Fox 666, by the way. F-O-X. Broadcasting Network.
Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.